Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
In our cell groups, our Bible studies that we've been having, we have been going through the book of Acts, where we've been able to read a lot about the life of the Apostle Paul and his testimony. And this morning I would like for us to look at a very important part of that as we come to the book of Acts, chapter 26. And we're going to begin reading with verse 19. Acts chapter 26, verse 19 and following. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. And therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other thing than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul, without a doubt, was a true, faithful, courageous witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul testified in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. These were not just words that Paul rattled off. His life was living proof. His life was evidence of the fact that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that he was a bold, courageous, faithful witness for Jesus. Paul took the life-changing message of the gospel to kings and rulers and to the ends of the earth. And now, as he stood before King Agrippa, knowing certainly that his own death was just right around the corner, Paul testifies to King Agrippa and to the world, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Folks, listen. The heavenly vision hasn't changed. The heavenly vision is the same. It is that we who have received from the Lord, we who've been saved by grace and filled with God's Spirit, that we share that with the world. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save the lost. You know, I find it interesting in the Gospel according to Matthew, when you look at the very end, chapter 28, at the very end of the Gospel, where we receive the Great Commission, which for many people is the great omission. But Jesus gave us a commission. But I find it interesting that there in Matthew 28, verse 17, it says that when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him. And so, get this picture in your mind. You have worship. They saw Jesus and they worshipped. Right after that, Jesus said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations. And when I look at the New Testament, we've been looking at the book of Acts. When I look at the New Testament church, I see two things that I think you could just sum it up with two words. Worship and witness. You want to just see what the New Testament church was about. They were all about worship and witness. Of course, worship, you know, you have some moving parts there. In worship, they had fellowship. They had the word, the teaching of the word. They had prayer. That's all part of worship. They had the sacraments. They had communion, water baptism. But then you have the witness, and that witness took on various shapes and in various circumstances, and it was often met with opposition and persecution and sometimes even death. But here's the thing that we need to understand about the New Testament church. And if we say we're a New Testament church, then this all applies to us. When you look at the New Testament church, we see that they were connected to Christ in worship. Number one, connected to Christ in worship, and then connected to the world in witness. You see, one is not complete without the other. You know, the problem we have is we try to compartmentalize worship. We come to church an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, and we look at that. That's my time of worship. Worship ought to encompass our lives, and then witness ought to come forth from our worship. You know, if God just wanted worshipers, if that's all he wanted was worshipers, then he would just call us all to heaven and we could worship him without interruption. But it's not just all about worship. It's about sharing with the world. We talk about loving God, loving people, changing our world, changing the world around us. Then that's how we're going to do it when we begin to tell the story. And to share our faith. Remember the argument that Paul gave in Romans chapter 10. He said, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But then he said, how are people going to hear? How are they going to believe unless someone tells the story? Now, so I'm preaching this message this morning since we've been focusing this month on outreach, reaching out, and our witness, trying to impact people with the gospel. And I realized that preaching on witnessing, preaching on sharing our faith is like kind of like preaching on tithing. You know, they're not the two most exciting subjects that you can deal with in preaching. And yet, when we talk about loving God and loving people, we want others to come to love God and to know God as we do. But how will they if we're not living the gospel and speaking the gospel? And so in this message today that I'm calling Helps and Hindrances in Sharing Our Faith, I want to deal with, first of all, I'll start with the hindrances, the things that hinder us in this regard. The first one is what I'm going to call fumbling. All of these three start with the letter F, fumbling. And we look at this from our side, and you know, when you look at this word fumbling, because that's how a lot of people feel when it comes to this, you know, I'm going to fumble in trying to share with someone. But when you look at the word fumbling, there are other words associated with it. Searching, awkwardness, unskillful, bungle, dropping the ball. And so a lot of people feel like that. They say, well, you know, I'm not an outgoing person, and I'm not articulate, and I'm not theologically astute. And so there's this feeling of awkwardness, or there's a searching for knowing the right thing to say at the right time. And so they don't want to botch it and bungle it, so to speak. And so nothing's said and nothing's done. And that's exactly what the devil wants right there. That's what the devil wants. And so let's think about this from God's side. Okay, so that's how, you know, just think about fumbling, you know, I might fumble. But how does God look at this? Folks, I want to tell you something. God never fumbles. If God were a running back on a football team, I guarantee you, he would never fumble a ball. The Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit is skilled. The Holy Spirit is articulate. The Holy Spirit is able. Look at these verses here. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope. There are a lot of people out there, they might be, I have this hat I wear, and it has the word, when Phillips and Bates was here, I bought a hat, and I was hoping they'd give it to me, but I had to pay 20 bucks for it. But anyway, I'm a typical preacher, right? Don't forget I said that. But anyway, people are looking for hope. And so if someone's out there for hope, what are you going to tell them? Where's your hope? You're going to tell them to put their hope in the government? In this fleeting life, our hope is in God. We need to know. We need to be able to tell our story of the hope. Give a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Jesus said, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Then Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Helper, that's the word for the Paraclete, the word for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Encourager, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. What I'm saying here, folks, is God is able to use imperfect vessels. Do you agree with that? And it's better to stumble and to give a testimony, to give a word, than not to do it at all, because God has called us to give a reason for the hope that is in it. I need to move on here because I have several points here this morning. So it's like you have fumbling. What is one of the hindrances? Another one, fear. Just a plain old emotion of fear. Like, well, what are people going to think of me? Will they think I'm a religious fanatic? Or will they persecute me? Will I be rejected? All these things that come about because of fear. Look at this verse here. Proverbs 29:25. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Peter fell into that dangerous trap. Before the cross, before Pentecost, Peter was over there warming himself at the fire in the enemy's camp, and he denied Jesus three times because he feared the people. He denied the Lord, and he wept bitterly. His heart was just broken because he had denied the Lord. But then, after the cross, after Pentecost, after Peter was saved and filled with God's Spirit, he sided with the party of the circumcision because of the fear of the people. He fell backwards because of fear. Fear is a powerful emotion. Of course, Peter got it all straightened out, praise God. And that's how God is so good to us. He helps us when we do fail, and he picks us back up. Jesus said, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I like what David said in the Psalm 56:3-4. He said, but when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God. So why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? So these are some of the hindrances. Here's another hindrance. So another thing that hinders us in sharing our faith. I'm going to use the word fervor, meaning the lack thereof. Because you see, when we love God as we should, and we love people, there should be a certain amount of fervor in our lives. And I put some words here. If you look at the word fervor, zeal, warmth, passion, that's what someone has when they go up into a football stand in bad weather and they sit there on those hard bleachers and cheer for their team. Now that's fervor, isn't it? People are passionate about sports and the team they like. Or a hunter that gets up at the crack of dawn before it's even light, you know, and goes out and it's terrible weather. They go hunting because there's fervor. I want you to look at this verse here in Acts 18:25. This man, this is talking about Apollos. That's the man it's talking about. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he was still fervent, believing God's word, but he didn't know the way fully. And Aquila and Priscilla pulled him aside and explained even more, and he became even more fervent. And Apollos became such a fervent witness that people were drawn to him. And they wanted to follow him because of the zeal and the fervency that he had in his life. Now, I want to tell you kind of, I don't know, to me it seems like a strange story now, but it's my life. It's something that happened in my life. It's pretty bizarre. I don't know if you could picture me as a hippie type. You know, I had big bushy hair down to my shoulders. I had the big wide striped bell-bottom pants, you know, and the big thick belt, I mean, the big wide belt. And, you know, the 70s. Any of you can identify with that, what the 70s were like. And here I was. I mean, I was out there in the left field, and I was all alone. I just cried out to God. And I'm going to tell you, I wasn't in a revival service. I was alone. And I cried out to God, and I mean, I got saved. Right there on the spot, I got totally filled with the Spirit. I looked at myself in the mirror. I could see the Shekinah glory coming out of me, and I didn't know any. I'm sharing this with you to show you about witnessing, sharing our faith, because I didn't know what to say. My family thought I was nuts. They were going to lock me up somewhere. And so I remember this. So I had this tremendous experience, and I thought, I just immediately, I've got to tell others. I've got to share with others. And so I saw this picture, like I think it was like about a 5x7 picture of Jesus. Of course, we don't know what Jesus looked like, right? People make pictures. But for me, that was Jesus on that picture. That was a man who saved me. And so there was a river, like the Ohio River over here, but there was a walk, a park, and a place where you could walk along there. There were benches where people could sit. Always people over there if the weather was decent. And so there was always a crowd over there. So here's me, you know, long hair, and all this just happened to me. And I thought, I walked through that park, and I had this picture, and I thought, if people just see this picture, they'll get saved. Go on. That's how simple I was in my thinking. I didn't know anything to tell them. No one even told me you should say, God loves you, or whatever. So I just used that picture, and I walked up to people, and I would just look at them with a big grin on my face, you know. And just show them this picture. I was convinced if they just saw that picture of Jesus, they would just say, you know, they're probably wondering what institution did this guy just come out of. But that was, you know, and so the thing is, I look at that now and I think, here I am, a pastor doing this all these years. It's easy to get caught up in the details of life. And I, as I thought about that this week, I was thinking, Lord, I want more zeal. I want more fervency in my life. I remember what that was like. And look at this verse here. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, I just mentioned three of these things. There are more. There are other things you could mention that might be a hindrance to us in trying to share the gospel. But I want to share some thoughts with you today on this subject. What are some, all of these begin with the letter E, by the way. What are some of the helps? What are things that we can do that will help us? Number one, engage. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul did constantly. He engaged people. He engaged King Agrippa. Therefore, having obtained help from God, he realized his help was from God. He said, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great. And you see, folks, when we engage, if you're willing to engage someone and be concerned about them and you're engaging them, you can become a bridge from God to that person, to help that person. So when I talk about this thing about engaging, it's not just knowledge. You can have knowledge, you can even have prompting. You can even be prompted in your spirit. But it is not witnessing until you engage, until you actually do it. And Paul did that with King Agrippa. He engaged him with his testimony. I want to tell you the story about Abbey Burr. Abbey Burr worked all of her life as a cashier at the First National Bank in Springfield, Tennessee. And then she died. When she died, at her funeral service, the pastor stepped to the podium and he said, I want all these ladies down here in front to stand to their feet. 52 women stood up. And the pastor said, these ladies were led to Christ individually, one by one, by Abbey Burr. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there, so I don't know what the pastor said from that point on. I'm sure he had a Bible message for the funeral service, but what more could be said than that? That's why we're here. And I want you to think about something today. Wouldn't it be nice to know that there's going to be at least one person in heaven because of you? I mean, we know that Jesus is the only one that can save. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Only Jesus can save. But what if there's someone that's in heaven because of something that you said, something that you did, that led them to Christ? There's no greater reward than anyone can have in this life. That's why God put us on this earth. Not only to know Him and to love Him, but to love people. And then to share with them so that they can be changed. That will change our world when we share the gospel. Number two, equip. This is something that we need. I'm going to use the word equip. Reading here, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers for what purpose? To equip. To equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We read in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I need to say something here. You know, earlier I gave that scripture about the Holy Spirit will give you what to say in an hour. That's an emergency when you're there in a situation like that. But I don't know how many preachers I've heard. In fact, since I moved back to West Virginia, I heard a preacher not long ago say, I don't, you know, have any, I don't make any notes or anything. I just let whatever God wants to say through me, I just let it rip or whatever. I don't know. But let's transfer that over to, say, a musician. Someone who plays guitar or piano or some musical instrument. Well, are they going to say, I'm not going to study the notes, or I'm not going to practice a song, I'm just going to let whatever my fingers want to do, that's what I'm going to allow. You know? And so, as I was saying about that, because we need to be equipped, we need to study to show ourselves approved and be equipped. So I remember this old story, a story of many, many, many years ago when our country was still pretty much being settled and so forth. But there was this old American Indian, and he went to a church service, and he sat there and listened to the preacher, and the preacher's message obviously lacked any sense of depth, or you could tell the pastor wasn't prepared. But yet, the preacher, to cover up his lack of preparation, he got louder and louder, and he banged on the pulpit, and some undiscerning believer might think, boy, didn't the pastor really preach up a storm today? And so they asked this old Indian guy, what he thought of the message, and he said, high wind, big thunder, no rain. But I kind of like that story. But anyway, here's the thing. Here's my point, okay, today. To be effective, whether it's teaching, preaching, evangelizing, trying to be a witness, being an usher in the church, whatever ministry, it takes a certain amount of equipping. And it takes prayer and the knowledge of God's Word. It doesn't just happen. The Bible says that we should be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And here, don't miss this, because I want you to see this. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul, and I don't want you to miss this. Paul did not just, by coincidence, by happenstance, he didn't just end up before King Agrippa. He was equipped to be before King Agrippa. God had prepared him all of his life for that one divine moment where he could stand there and give his testimony to King Agrippa. Because Paul had prepared himself, and he was ready for whatever it was that he was going to have to go through. So, here's number three. And I'll be briefer on these last two. But here's another thing that helps exalt. I'm going to use the word exalt. Jesus said, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will what? If I'm lifted up, if he was lifted up on the cross, just as Moses lifted up the serpent and people looked to this and they lived, Jesus was lifted up on the cross. And Jesus said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. John the Baptist was a great witness. I mean, here he is. He's out there in the wilderness. He's preaching about repentance. Crowds are there. He has all this notoriety. He has his ministry going on. And one day Jesus came, and John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then look what John said. He must increase. I must decrease. He must become more important while I become less important. I'm just saying this in this simple point that I'm making. The best thing we can do is when we exalt Jesus in our lives and in worship, and he's real to us, he's real in our lives, then that's going to translate into sharing his love and his grace with others. There's one other point that I want to make this morning. I want to use the word energize, because we need the energy of God. I mean, we need the energy of God to do the work of God. That means we have to have the Spirit flowing in our lives. The Holy Spirit is where the power comes from. The Holy Spirit gives us the words. The Holy Spirit gives us the opportunities if we're willing. Yesterday, I just came upon this article yesterday. And I thought I would read this to you. It's not very long, but I thought it was interesting. One New Year's Day, in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gasoline. The amusing thing was that this float represented the Standard Oil Company. With its vast oil resources, its truck was out of gas. And then whoever wrote this, they made this comparison. Often Christians neglect their spiritual maintenance and find themselves out of gas. Folks, how many of you today know that God never runs out of resources? God never fumbles. God never stumbles. God is able. And He has what we need to do what He has called us to do. He would have called us to be witnesses without giving us the resources to be His witnesses. I'm going to draw to a close, and the Lord put this passage on my heart, and I want to read this word from Luke 24, the end of the chapter. Then He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you," that includes us who follow Him, "and you are my witnesses of these things. Behold," and here's the resource that we need, "behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." I remembered something. I'm just going to close with this. You know, we live in such a political world with all these political things. But I just remember, you know, I started thinking back when Bill Clinton was elected in 1992. He received 43% of the vote when he was elected as the president. And he came in and he said that he had a mandate to change the way that the government does business, which is a good thing in my opinion. So as I was thinking about that, I thought, okay, that's 43%. God has given us a 100% mandate. A 100% mandate to live for Him, to tell the story, to be an example, to be a witness verbally, sharing in whatever way we can the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His word. Blessings.